there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report on the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com, Las Vegas Weekly, lasvegasweekly.com, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group and also sister publication Vegas Magazine, where you can read all about showgirls in Las Vegas and the current issue, the cover of which is drawn by Peter Max.
Wow.
Joining me is customary, except when she's in Montana, is Trish McCrone. Welcome back to the United States, honey.
Thank you. Yes, I was almost in Canada, but I'm not. I could see Canada from my house.
Yeah, in case we ever have to invade.
There you go.
I love Canada.
Good to be back. I was supposed to be back last week, but unfortunately I had an event that involved a bald eagle, and I have a torn rotator cuff. We'll just leave it at that.
You have a torn left...
Yes, and I'm left-handed.
You're lefty.
I know everyone kept saying, well, thank God it's your right arm. If it was your left, that'd be terrible. And I'm like, I mean, if it's your left arm, if it was your right, it'd be terrible. I'm like, yes, it would if I wasn't a lefty. Thank you. But yes, no, so it's all good. Good pain meds, good things. But I had to go to orthopedic surgeon and all that junk. So I missed last week when I was supposed to, but I'm here now. And I miss everybody. I miss Steven in the control room. I miss Katsy.
Yeah, Steven's grown a couple of inches.
Yeah, not enough that I actually come back, but I do miss you guys.
Well, we've had a lot happen. I mean, obviously, since you were away, we've, let's talk about this, I guess. Right before you left, or as you were leaving, planning to leave, we saw Mamma Mia.
Yes.
Now that you return, Mamma Mia is closing.
And we had a couple of the stars. Our last show that I did here was the two leads.
Yeah, and I remember very well in that conversation asking about crowd response, crowd counts. Remember that?
Yes.
We asked him about that.
It was a little
less than...
It wasn't, we're sold out every show, the crowds are amazing.
It was not a confident answer, and now we understand why it wasn't a confident answer.
Which is a shame, because it's the theater's beautiful. I think that the property is beautiful. I think the Tropicana is beautiful. I think that it was
an
incredible show and incredible talent. And, I'm sad whenever I see what, I deem entertaining show. I'm always sad to see a show close when, I think you even... kind of commented this. I think you did comment this in your column, which yes, I do read. That there are so many shows that probably should close but just have the funding, which is something that we complain about every day in Las Vegas. It's the whole four wall situation. That there is a lot of talented, really good shows with really talented people that just, like Mamma Mia, that don't stay as long as it should. And then there's other shows that you're like, how in the world is this thing still surviving?
Yeah, it is.
Without naming names,
I think I use the word galling. The thing with Mamma Mia is it was essentially like a four wall. Their producers came in and rented the room and were paying the Tropicana owners, Onyx Corporation, a lease fee to be in the room. So the entity that was taking the hit really financially was Judy Kramer and the production company behind Mamma Mia. And they've got many, many, many millions of dollars from their shows around the world and in the United States. So they took a calculated assessment of the show and felt, I think, that it wasn't going to trend any better than it was already in the less than 3 months it was at the Tropicana, and decided to pull the plug. The problem is everything you said about the Trop, I think, is true. The problem now is the challenge at the Tropicana is to get something in there that will animate that place.
Yeah.
And that has been a challenge for the Tropicana for myriad reasons ever since the refreshing of the hotel began about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. We
both have a history with the place. I mean, yeah. It's a part of Las Vegas history.
I love the Trop, a huge fan of it. And I'm sad to see a quality show go away with really, really talented people and a really good show. And that always saddens me when it comes down to, and I wish there was a different way around it. I wish that, and again, I think I go back to star policy, and now everything is rented. So, it's very hard when you look at how much it costs to put up a show, whether it's billboards, in-house, everything that goes into it, the amount of money is staggering. You have to pretty much be selling out all the time to survive. Yeah. And it's unless the hotel's behind it and they're doing it, you know, as part of the promotion for their property, which doesn't happen anymore. You have very few shows that have guarantees.
Very few. I've compared it to the water show at the Bellagio. The water show at the Bellagio, it costs a lot of money to maintain and put on and takes no money in. Now, why does a Bellagio invest that kind of money in a water show? Because it's a worldwide attraction. Entertainers used to be the water show, and they aren't anymore, and they have to make money.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense that you're having people out on your sidewalk instead of – but that's just all I have to say. Well, but also, we will talk about it in a future thing. I cannot let it go that LeBron is back, okay? And we will discuss this in another host chat because we're running out of time because we have a really good guest today. So – and we just had a great weekend against the Tigers. Okay, I'm just saying that. Indians, I mean, you know.
With that, we're gonna jump to Josh Bell with movies, and then after Josh, we're gonna have one of our favorite return guests, Marin Wade, who's not only a showgirl in Las Vegas but now a new columnist. So stick around; I know we will.
This is Tara Palsha, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
We have to stop Ronan.
How? I have a plan.
You've got a plan?
Yes.
First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
That's Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, and Zoe Saldana as the members of Marvel's superhero team, the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Pratt's sarcastic space outlaw, Peter Quill, finds himself at the center of a battle between evil warlord Ronan and the generally peace-loving people of the planet Xandar, and he enlists a team of reluctant allies. Set almost entirely in outer space, with minimal connections to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Guardians of the Galaxy is a much looser, funnier Marvel superhero movie with strong performances and surprising character depth, although it's still a conventional summer blockbuster in many ways. I give Guardians of the Galaxy 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Get On Up, a biopic starring Chadwick Boseman as funk legend James Brown.
What exactly do you call your style of music?
Well, I call it James Brown music, because it's so far ahead of its time. They ain't got a name for it yet. Take another record. Any record you got on your box at home. It ain't gonna sound like mine.
Get On Up is full of standard-issue music biopic moments, but they're played slightly out of order, with a fractured chronology that's more confusing than illuminating. This is a purely celebratory film, with Boseman radiating exuberance as James Brown, and James Brown's classic music infusing the entire production. Mostly, though, Get On Up is bland and respectful, which is one reason the jumbled narrative structure feels out of place. I give Get On Up 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back! Sitting with us now is one busy singer in Vegasville. She is part of Terry Bradshaw's touring one-man show and is a guest star in Fantasy at the Luxor. And she is also a new columnist, folks. She writes Confessions of a Showgirl, which you can read online at lasvegasweekly.com and in the Las Vegas Weekly print edition. Welcome back to Cats with a Dish, columnist Marin Wade.
Hi. I'm so excited to have that
title.
Isn't
it exciting?
It's very exciting.
It's quite exciting.
Marin, you almost have as many credits as Cats.
She's writing for two.
I'm getting
two
there. I'm a Cats in training.
And then you had all the shows. It's like, wow.
So
I feel very I feel inadequate in this company.
No, I'm starting to get a little rusty actually on the singing because I've been doing so much writing now. I just like sit home and I'm working on my computer and I'm writing. I just feel so professional.
You have to sing the lines in the column.
About to say, are you writing from your column? Are you writing music from your column?
Am I writing music? Well, I will say that I am working on a show that is inspired by the column. I can say that much. I won't say much more than that, but that is in the works too. So it's been a lot of creativity in the mix, and it's fun.
The column is going to work in concert with the show.
In concert.
Right?
The best part
is... We can say that.
Yes, we can say that. And
it comes attached with an album version of the column.
An album, yeah.
I'm going to do a singing rendition. Tape. Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, the plays. Here's the cast album. Here's the studio album of the column.
I might have to add that to the list.
There you go.
To the list of things to work on.
There you go.
Well, we know that this all started... Well, you can tell a story. How did you become known as something of a writer in Las Vegas?
This story. I wrote an article. I wrote a guest article last year for Robin Leach. Mm-hmm. It was called How to Close a Show in 10 Days. Some called it career suicide. I'm actually really thankful that didn't happen.
why would people call it career suicide?
Well, you know, for the record, it was meant to be a satirical piece. I didn't mention any names, and I didn't even claim it to be true. I didn't say anything about that. It was a satirical, playful piece. And obviously, if you read the tone of the article, it was so over the top, right? I mean, it couldn't all possibly be true. But it was a creative interpretation of just I just wanted to kind of play around with that idea, because who would really want to close a show? No one. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do a how-to guide to how to close a show. And what do I know? I'm a performer, you know. But it was just kind of a playful article, and it got a lot of buzz around town, and certain people thought it was about – what was funny is certain people thought it was about them, and then other people thought it was about them. I was like, wow, this wasn't at all about you, but this is really funny that you're coming out and, like, claiming responsibility.
These are people who were involved in shows that were – What type of people? Shows that were struggling? Shows that had closed? Shows that should close?
I mean, you know, it was a compilation of shows over history of time and personality types, and just it was just so funny though to see how many people would actually involve themselves and thought that all of a sudden it was about them.
You're like, oh, I know a lot more about you now. Like people like tipped their whole card a little bit, like letting them into the fact that maybe they have been experiencing this sort of thing.
But the other thing I learned is that a lot of people don't seem to read the last paragraph of the column of the article, because it really was praising producers in town that do have long running shows and do, you know, have a great respect for their cast and all the other things, and kind of what a well-oiled machine looks like. And so if anyone does want to go back and read that article, and all you have to do is Google how to close a show in 10 days, and it's the first one that comes up, read the last paragraph, because that's what I really wanted to say.
Well, you're in an interesting spot now that you're kind of in both camps. You're in both dugouts here as somebody who writes about the city and is part of the entertainment community. Now, I ask you, we just had a show close in Las Vegas, the Mamma Mia production over at Tropicana. Now, you're in an interesting position, and I often, in my role, ask people like yourself, what do you think of that? Why did Mamma Mia close?
Well, honestly,
in your view?
I can't answer that because I haven't seen it. I'd really want to go see it. I probably only have a little time left.
August 3rd.
Right? Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go see it, and I might have to get back to you on that answer. I mean, it is kind of boggling. What's scary is that it seems like lately I've heard a lot about shows closing, and it does scare me. I guess I kind of wonder, and I hope that this isn't true, but with Vegas and the nightclub scene and the DJs and stuff, I'm just wondering if we're losing some of that crowd in there. And even though DJs are fun and clubs are fun, I would really hate to see a lot of the shows in town close.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, this is one that was very high quality.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a great show, and I did actually read the comments on your column, Katz.
Yeah,
Katz wrote a column, and while I was at the airport, shocker! And when I was at the airport at 5 a.m. this morning, I started to read comments, you know, because I had a little bit of time on my hands, and a lot of people said that between when it was on the strip at Mandalay Bay for all those years and then at the Smith Center, that they saw it. It was a great show, but that they had no interest in seeing it again.
Mm.
That the locals
Grand fatigue.
Had kind of been there, done that. Which says nothing against how wonderful the cast, because it truly was a fantastic, it's still going, a fantastic show and great performers. But Maybe that could have something to do with it. According to your readers, Katz, that was what a couple of them had to say.
According to me, too. But you have already noticed in your – you've written, what, four columns now total?
I've written
three,
four, yes.
Four overall?
I think overall, yeah.
You notice that you get response and you notice that people will comment to you and about you unexpectedly. This is an example.
Yeah, no, I think it is an interesting thing. I mean, sometimes it's funny now when I'm talking with my friends, they're like, you know, they'll tell me a story. You're not going to print that, right? I was like, no, I mean, no, I, the last thing I want to do is the goal in this column is really to just have fun and to kind of get an insider's behind the scenes look at the life of a showgirl and the funny things that happen and kind of the entertaining things that aren't scripted and that you don't see when you're sitting in the audience watching
the show. It's a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, because there's so many hilarious stories and just things that we sit there and we can like make ourselves cry laughing. And that's kind of what I want to do with this. I don't want it to be something too serious. I mean, there are definitely going to be moments where I might, you know, I don't know, voice an opinion here or there. But for the most part, I really want it to be something that the performing community can enjoy as well as all the people who really don't know much about that world. And I think in some ways everyone can relate because even though perhaps they might not be battling with fishnets and sequins per se, it may be in an office situation, I'm sure they might, you know, have computer challenges or other things that
and there may be fishnets and sequins in some offices. We have no idea.
Could there
be? Yeah, especially.
Well, you told a story about you took readers inside a cake. What it feels like to jump out of a cake, which I'd never considered what that must be like to be the person in the cake.
I never considered it either.
Well, this is the column that's up now that you've written.
It is. It's the newest
article. Talk about the cake thing.
The cake incident.
The
incident with the cake. Well, it was very funny because I really, oddly enough, I really did always want to jump out of a cake.
No, I think every woman kind of wants to at some point in their life. I know it sounds crazy, but we've all, when we see it, I've thought of it like, oh my God, that would be so much fun to jump out of a cake.
It would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's slightly claustrophobic, I would think.
It can be fun, right? It's fun once you jump out, but I guess I never considered what it would feel like to be actually inside the cake. And I mean, you'll have to read the article to get like the details of it. But the general storyline was that I had gotten the opportunity to jump out of a cake for a big party on the Strip, and they wheeled me out and we rehearsed it. And there's like a little seat in the cake, and I sat in there, and it was hot, like it was the middle of summer, and there's no air conditioning in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I think it'd be claustrophobic and hot. Yes.
It is, and it's dark. When they seal you in, it's dark, and you can't actually hear that much, so you don't really know what's going on.
When your cue is coming, how do you hear your cue?
Well, you really have to listen. On top of that, they're wheeling you out, so you're kind of being moved around. You don't know where you're going or what's happening. But when I got out there, I got to pop out. I sang the cake, and that part was very fun. And then basically they forgot about me. And I couldn't get out of the cake. So I was stuck in the cake for a while. It was a long while. And I kept getting teased because there was a video presentation that was going to come on like right after the cake. And they just started the video presentation and I had to slink back.
So what do you do? Just scooch yourself out?
I couldn't get out.
But do you scooch the cake as much as you can?
No, you can't do anything. Oh. You're
well, they
stuck
were moving
in the
cake, right?
So they moved the cake like to the side, but then didn't
they
take me off
to get
the
you
stage.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I couldn't get out of it. So I had to literally, like, after doing the whole happy birthday to you and feeling all cool and glamorous, had to duck back in to the cake with people still watching me. And just stay there. And then the video presentations went on for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then I thought I'd be able to get out. And then they went into speeches.
No.
And then I just sat there and I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if they were ever going to come and get me. I mean, I was like, I was sitting there thinking, this is so crazy. This is not what I envisioned. Jumping out of a cake.
Hazardous pay for cake jumping.
Well, it's called jumping out, not jumping in. Like
exactly.
I like the line where you talk about it was stiflingly hot. I had seen cakes being baked before, but never from the inside.
No.
Well, that's a note to self to always bring your phone and a fan.
Or you can just start kicking, maybe.
Yeah, note to self. I mean, next time I'm going to come prepared with a survival kit.
Exactly.
Like a little blowtorch.
Some, you know, you can have some, you know, like a little trail mix and some water.
Yeah, it's going to be like survival a special guide. Cake popping.
A chill towel kit. For your neck.
Now, there's going to be a point where you're going to be having to, you know, collect these externally because you only have a finite number of things that happen to you directly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have already started.
Are you raking the scene, as I say?
I do. Every fellow showgirl I meet, I tell them, I'm like, if you have any funny, great stories, like, please tell them to me because, yeah, absolutely. This is not a column that's just about me. I want, and we're going to expand to all different realms. Because in my intro, I said, like, a showgirl. The modern showgirl comes in all shapes, all sizes. Mm-hmm. In Vegas, they don't even need to be women. So there's going to be a lot of interesting stories. And I just think there's so many amazing performers in Vegas that have just so many entertaining stories.
I bet
stories.
The Divas cast has a lot of great stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm going to hit them up too. Yeah. No.
but no, I mean, what Kat's kind of spoke on this a little bit earlier about that people do comment. I mean, are you the type of a person that if somebody says something that is negative in a comment, are you going to take that personally? I mean, I know that I can get my feelings hurt very easily.
Yeah, I mean, so. I'm not going to lie. I think that absolutely when there's negative comments.
Have there been some?
So far, I haven't seen any. Not on this one. I had a ton on the very first
one.
The first one I got.
What was the rudest one you got?
I got a good taste of it, but I mean, it was definitely people who were trying to make it wasn't someone who was reading the article from
the way that you meant it.
A background that they knew nothing about. You know, it was someone who I got comments from people who thought the article was about them. So those I take.
But
with
they
a grain of
they
salt.
Actually commented on the site.
Yeah, they
wow.
did. They started, I don't know, admitting blame for things, and I was like,
that's
I don't know what's
smart.
Going on here, but yeah, no, but I would say that so far. The comments have been encouraging on the new articles that I've written, and I welcome them. I mean, I love to as a performer, well, as a not even just as a performer, as someone who always wants to better myself. I love feedback, and hopefully, it's constructive. I think that when you give feedback that really doesn't have any sort of constructive purpose and just sort of negative for the sake of being negative, that you kind of have to just push aside and.
But I mean, I have a theory on this, and I'm in a way sticking up for both of you here, having not been writing columns. But it seems like there's so many negative comments that people put on every type of a thing, and they're so negative. And I'm kind of like, if you actually had to look the person in the face and give these constructive, what they think are constructive comments, that you wouldn't be able to do it. Like, it's almost cyberbullying in a little bit of a way. Like, it's really harsh. Like, I mean, some of the things that I have read, you know, I've on some of Katz's thing, I mean, in being in PR, I know, and, you know, being related to an entertainer, that some of the comments that are made that are just mean-spirited for no reason, then you can sit on your couch and you feel like being a jerk is basically
well, and you can see sometimes because I've seen a couple of those comments just kind of floating around reading other articles, and I click on the profile of the person, you know, they have like a little live, what is it? Livefire profile.
Livefire.
And you can see all the comments they make. And generally speaking, my research has shown that when someone does leave a negative comment, you can look. And a lot of times the only comments they leave are negative. It's like, you can just, I
see that I didn't know
about
that. So people should do that because I think that this is awesome that a female, I mean, I love cats and I love that we don't have a lot of like fun female writers in Vegas. Not a lot. There are a few, but we don't have a lot. So I think that this is a great thing.
And it's also on this, it is interesting because there are very few people who can do what you do. A lot of people think that they would like to do it, but you actually are executing as being in the industry and writing about the industry in an entertaining way is very rare, believe me.
Well,
we've had a lot of people come around and say, oh, that would be great for me to write an article.
And they have to do one guest column. They have to do one guest column, and they're like,
I asked her for samples. I said, you know, this is provide samples and let's see what you can do. And she did it, you know, and that's where you can prove it. And on the comments, it's the anonymity that unshackles people.
Sure.
It's the anonymity. If you had to put your name on that comment, the same way someone who's doing the writing in the first place has to, whole different ballgame if you're accountable. It's lack of accountability that frees people up to put graffiti
Sure. But the best part is the ones who don't really know how to sign up properly, and then you can actually see who they were.
There you go. Well, see, but the thing is, when I enjoy an article, and I guess I think I represent the normal reader, that I don't think to post comments on articles that I enjoy. I just continue reading the writer. So it's like, it's kind of, That's true, too.
I've been noticing that it's funny. I mean, I try it, like, when I'm really not great at Facebook and social media, and I'm trying to get better because, you know, now I write.
You have to. You're a
writer. I write a column, and I want people to read it. And so I'm sort of noticing, even, like, when I post, like, a link, and I'll be like, no one's liking it. Like, I feel like all weird. And then I spoke to someone else who's pretty experienced in social media. They're like, well, can you monitor like the clicks? And
yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll click on an article, you'll read it. You're not going to remember to go back and like it.
Exactly. I never go back and like an article. No, I'm just saying that. I would never go back. I just continue reading what the writer has to say. If I don't like them, I don't put anything negative. I just don't read them anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, but it seems like it's only the haters that really are very much into the commenting all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm sticking up for Maron Wade and for John Katsimatis right here. Right
well, thank you.
But I love that you're like, you have this perspective and you're such a fun, beautiful, like entertaining woman in Vegas. And I think it's wonderful that you
thank you so much.
You're doing this.
Thanks. I'm glad that I hope other people, you know,
I'm even more happier that you didn't drive stick today. And anyone
too.
That listened to our last show that we had with Maren will understand she didn't run 100. She didn't run 5 miles in 120 like degree weather.
It was the Maren Wade triathlon.
It was. I can tell you that I'm
drive,
either
bike, run.
I'm either in better shape or I'm just getting better with directions and driving because it was so much easier to get here today.
I know. I text her, I'm like, do you need directions? She's like, you think?
Yeah, maybe. Let's do it.
So outside of Maren, as we get to close to the end of this episode, is there anything other than the Fantasy and Bradshaw shows that you're looking at right now as far as performing in Las Vegas?
You know, right now, I'm always open to new projects.
And you were in Vegas Nocturne.
I was in Vegas Nocturne, and that was fun, and they are lovely cast and production, and I hope that they do tons more shows in town. I'm always open to new projects. I do love performing in town, but right now I'm taking the time to really work on my show. It's always been a dream to produce something. And so that's been the new project that's been taking up a lot of my time and creativity. And so it's going to have to happen.
What's the next step for that?
Well, right now I finished writing the script and the storyline and the music's almost done.
Wow.
I call it a variety show with a twist, and it's going to feature a lot of songs that you know, but original arrangements.
Cool.
And then possibly some original work in there too, because I am a songwriter, so I might throw in a couple of those. But it's different. I believe it's something that Vegas hasn't seen before, and it's one of those things that's on my bucket list, so I got to do it.
Right on. Well, we're going to wrap it up now. But thanks for coming back to see us, Maren. And it's a pleasure working with you now.
I know, because you're my editor.
I get to edit Maren. Yeah.
He does every
That's
Friday.
That's right. It's intense.
Wow.
It is.
So far, so good on the deadline. So far, so good on every directive.
Yes. But I like a kid in school. Check. Like, yeah. I'm doing it all right so far.
But it's fun to have you around. And yeah, we'll just keep on keeping on. When the show takes form, we'll come back in and talk about that too.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Maren Wade.
Thank you.